from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main points. Indonesia and China signed two strategic MOUs on minerals. Indonesia reviews moratorium on sending workers to Saudi Arabia. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and China on Saturday signed two strategic memorandum of understanding MOU in the mineral sector during President Prabowo Subianto's state visit to Beijing, China. The first MOU on green mineral cooperation was signed by Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia and Chinese Minister of Commerce Wang Wentao, witnessed by the presidents of the two countries. According to a statement issued by the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, the second MOU was signed by Lahadalia and Zeng Sanji, chair of the China National Development and Reform Commission. According to Minister Lahadalia, the collaboration will not only strengthen the sustainable mineral supply chain, but also encourage significant investment in clean energy development in both countries. He said that the cooperation reflects the two countries' seriousness in realizing the global commitment to speed up the sustainable energy transition. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's visit to China is an opportunity to bolster South-South cooperation to push green economy development, climate action, and energy transition. According to the Institute of Essential Service Reform, in a statement issued on Saturday, its executive director, Fabi Tumia, said that the visit must be used to strengthen collaboration with China to support the low-carbon energy transition, green investment, technology transfer, and the development of the clean energy technology industry in Indonesia. IESR emphasized that the energy transition is necessary to achieve national energy self-sufficiency while reducing emissions from the energy sector and scripting sustainable economic growth. This could support the President Prabowo's administration's target of 8% economic growth. The Indonesian government is reviewing and evaluating the moratorium on sending Indonesian migrant workers to Middle East countries, especially Saudi Arabia. Migrant Workers Protection Minister Abdul Kadir Karding stated on Saturday, this is a step needed to anticipate labor smuggling. The ministry is currently reviewing and finalizing regulations regarding the mechanism of the employment system for Indonesian migrant workers. In addition, the policy marks the placement of Indonesian migrant workers in Saudi Arabia with clear procedures and provisions, including the minimum wage workers must receive. Qatar Qatar has suspended its role as a key mediator for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal until Hamas and Israel show seriousness in talks, the foreign minister said Saturday. The Gulf Emirate, which has hosted Hamas political leadership since 2012 with U.S. blessing, has been involved in months of protracted diplomacy aimed at ending the war triggered by the Palestinian group's October 7 attack on Israel last year. But the talks, also mediated by Cairo and Washington, have repeatedly hit problems since a one-week truce in November 2023, the only one so far. Its side has blamed the other for the impasse. Joe Biden will meet with the president-elect Donald Trump at the White House on Wednesday, November the 13th, after the U.S. leader pledged an orderly transfer of power back to the Republican he beat in election just 4 years ago. Trump sealed a remarkable comeback to the presidency in the November 5th vote, cementing what is said to be more than a decade of U.S. politics dominated by his hardline right-wing stance. This type of meeting between the outgoing and incoming presidents was considered customary, but Trump did not invite Biden for one after making unsubstantiated election fraud claims that culminated in the January 6th Capitol riot. Trump, the 78-year-old ex-reality TV star, won wider margins than before. Exit polls showed that voters' top concerns remain the economy and inflation that spiked under Biden in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. The 81-year-old president, who dropped out of the White House race in July over concerns about his age, health, and mental quality, caught Trump on Wednesday to congratulate him on the election win. Russian President Vladimir Putin signed into law a treaty on the country's strategic partnership with North Korea, which includes a mutual defense provision, according to a decree published on Saturday. The accord, signed by Putin and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in June after a summit in Pyongyang, calls on each side to come to the other's aid in case of an armed attack. Russia's upper house ratified the treaty this week while the lower house endorsed it last month. Putin signed a decree on that ratification that appeared on Saturday on a government website outlining legislative procedures. The treaty galvanizes closer ties between Moscow and Pyongyang since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. Reports from South Korea and Western countries say North Korea had supplied Russia with weaponry. Russia has not confirmed the presence of the North Korean troops. Tens of thousands of people demonstrated in the eastern Spanish city of Valencia on Saturday, November the 9th, over regional authorities' handling of devastating floods that killed more than 220 people in one of Europe's worst natural disasters for decades. In the latest demonstration over the floods, protesters filled the center of Valencia demanding the designation of regional government leader Carlos Mazón. Residents in stricken areas accused Mazón of issuing an alert too late at 8 p.m. local time on October the 29th, well after water was already pouring into many nearby towns and villages. Nearly 80 people are still missing in what is the most deadly deluge in a single European country since floods in Portugal in 1967 killed around 500. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on Indonesia and Singapore strengthen bilateral partnership for regional and global benefits. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto received a visit from Singaporean Prime Minister Lawrence Wong at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. In a joint statement after the meeting, President Prabowo Subianto said the two leaders discussed a number of issues to improve bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore. The defense and legal sectors were the first things mentioned by the president in the joint statement. According to him, Singapore and Indonesia are committed to fully implementing the Defense Cooperation Agreement, including the arrangement of military training areas. Meanwhile, in the economic sector, Prabowo Subianto called Singapore the largest trading partner and investor in Indonesia. According to him, the two leaders discussed efforts to increase Singapore's investment in Indonesia in priority sectors. They include renewable energy, industrial downstreaming, food security, digital and semiconductor, health and the Indonesian new capital city, Nusantara.
Saya berharap Singapura.
I hope Singapore can facilitate wider market access for Indonesian products, including through harmonization of regulation and standards. At the meeting, President Prabowo Subianto and Prime Minister Lawrence Wong also discussed cooperation in the field of low-carbon energy technology. They discussed ongoing cooperation projects, including cross-border electricity interconnection, joint development of green hydrogen in Sumatra, and solar power plants. In addition, both leaders also agreed to follow up on cooperation related to carbon capture and storage. Another topic of discussion was the food security sector. In this regard, the two discussed potential for cooperation related to technology transfer and exchange of expertise in the field of food security, especially in urban agriculture and the development of food barn areas. They also agreed to accelerate the completion of the Memorandum of Understanding on Cooperation in Food Security and Agricultural Technology. Meanwhile, regarding human resource development, President Prabowo Subianto and Prime Minister Lawrence Wong agreed to increase cooperation in the fields of education, science, technology, digitalization, and professional exchanges. Regarding regional issues, according to President Prabowo Subianto, Indonesia and Singapore have the same view on the importance of maintaining regional and international peace amidst the increasingly complex tense geopolitical situation.
Saya ingin mengucapkan terima kasih.
I would like to thank Prime Minister Lawrence Wong and the entire Singapore delegation for the intensive and fruitful discussions. I'm confident that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Singapore will continue to develop. Meanwhile, facing regional and global challenges, Prime Minister Lawrence Wong in the joint statement said that Indonesia and Singapore have the same strategic perspective on world peace.
Indonesia and Singapore share many common strategic perspectives of the world. We both want to be friends to all. We both want to be good neighbors. We both want to be able to have close ties with America as well as China. And we will both exercise active and independent foreign policies towards that effect in order to achieve mutual benefit, mutual interest, and importantly, peace, stability, and prosperity for ourselves and for Southeast Asia.
Prime Minister Lawrence Wong hopes that strong bilateral relations between Indonesia and Singapore will not only help their respective countries, but will also provide guidance to accelerate the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN integration and realize a stronger and more united ASEAN. He added that amidst the current complex geopolitical situation, a strong ASEAN will provide benefits to ensure a region that can develop, attract investment to Southeast Asia, and provide a conducive environment for all Southeast Asians, Indonesia, and Singapore to benefit together. That was this week's Spotlight. first today in history record of Voice of Indonesia is the 1940 Francis earthquake. The 1940 Francis earthquake, also known as the 1940 Bucharest earthquake, occurred on Sunday, November the 10th, 1940, in Romania at 3:39 local time. At the time, most of the population was at home. With a magnitude of 7.7, it was the strongest earthquake recorded in the 20th century in Romania. The Francis earthquake devastated central and southern Moldova and Wallachia. In a study conducted by the Romanian National Research and Development Institute, or Urban INSERT, the death toll reached 593 people, while 1,271 people were injured. Moving on to November the 10th, 1945, the Battle of Surabaya. The Battle of Surabaya was a battle between Indonesian pro-independent soldiers and militias against the British and British Indian armies. It peaked on November the 10th, 1945. This battle was the first war between Indonesian and foreign troops after the proclamation of Indonesian independence on August the 17th, 1945. This battle became one of the largest and toughest battles in the history of the Indonesian National Revolution, which became a national symbol of Indonesia's resistance to colonialism. After this battle, the support of the Indonesian people and the international world for Indonesian struggle for independence grew stronger. Based on Presidential Decree No. 316 of 1959, signed by President Sukarno, November the 10th is commemorated every year as Heroes Day in Indonesia. The last record of today in history of Voice of Indonesia was November the 10th, 1975, Resolution 3379 issued by the UN General Assembly. Resolution 3379 issued by the UN General Assembly in 1975 stated that Zionism is a form of racism. This resolution passed with 72 votes in favor, 35 against, and 32 abstentions. The 72 votes in favor included 20 Arab countries, 12 other Muslim-majority countries like Indonesia, including Turkey, which recognized Israel at the time, 12 communist countries, 14 non-Muslim African countries, and 14 others, including Brazil, India, Mexico, and Portugal. That was today in history.
Listener, in this week's listener's mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Peter Ng in Malaysia. He was listening to VOI in German on September 13, 2024 at 6 p.m. UTC through a frequency of 3325 kHz. The SIO was 343. In his letter, he asked to send him a QSL card. Hello, sir. Thank you for your reception report. Your letter has been forwarded to the German section. Please be patient for the reply. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song for you. Thank you and enjoy the song.
Sengaja ku relakan semua harapanku di waktu terakhirku berdua bersamamu. Yang tak benar juga untuk menjadi satu.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is featuring Ministry of Youth and Sport presents 5-year work plan in the house. The Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports for the 2024-2029 working period focuses on 4 areas, namely youth services, sports achievements, community fitness, and also the sports industry. In a working meeting with Commission 10 of the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta Wednesday, Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryo Tejo said the strategic position that will be carried out is to prepare and implement policies on youth and sports, then focus on the development and empowerment of youth and sports actors. Minister Dito Aryo Tejo explained that there are 5 targets that are the focus of youth development, namely healthy, educated, and skilled youth, empowered youth with active participation in society, youth who can produce a quality generation with strong character and competitiveness. Meanwhile, in the field of sports, Minister Dito Aryo Tejo also explained the strategy for achieving athlete achievements at the 2028 Olympics. According to him, the selection of the Olympic national training team was carried out in detail and comprehensively and considered various existing aspects. The Ministry of Youth and Sports, he said, prioritizes the development of sport branches, long-term training centers, and fully supports the development program to produce achievements. Meanwhile, related to the sports industry, the Ministry of Youth and Sports will collaborate with the Ministry of Tourism and related parties such as sport branch organizations for sport development and side impacts from the implementation of sport activities. Regarding the readiness of pencak silat to be present at the Olympics, Minister Dito Aryo Tejo disclosed the pencak silat roadmap or Road to Olympic 2024-2029. The Ministry of Youth and Sports supports all pencak silat equipment, develops rules and regulation, and also develops pencak silat organizations throughout the world. To achieve pencak silat's presence in the Olympics, it requires support from at least 50 countries from 5 continents in addition to supporting pencak silat development abroad. That was my Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, now we'll reply to an email from Malik Allah Bachaya Kohar in Pakistan. He was listening to English programs on a frequency of 3325 kHz. In his email, he said the 3325 kHz signal can occasionally overcome atmospheric noise, providing robust clarity that makes the broadcast highly enjoyable. The clear reception of this broadcast from a distance of over 5,000 kilometers is not only impressive, but a testament to the lasting charm of shortwave radio, which continues to bridge distances and bring international listeners closer. Hello, sir. Thank you for your reception report and also compliment on VOI broadcast. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Apa adanya, walau ku banyak kekurangan, memang sulit untuk dapatkanmu, tak mudah juga untuk lepaskanmu. Oh, percayalah sayang, hatiku ini hanya untukmu. Berjalanlah bersamaku, kita nikmati indahnya cinta. Sayangku, cintaku, ku beruntung jadi pemilik hatimu. Ku sayang kamu, ku cinta kamu. Berjanji tak akan permainkanmu. Tetap bersamaku sayang sampai tua nanti. Oh, percayalah sayang, jalanlah bersamaku, kita nikmati indahnya cinta. Sayangku, cintaku, ku beruntung jadi pemilik hatimu. Ku sayang kamu, ku cinta kamu. Ku berjanji tak akan permainkanmu. Bersamaku sayang sampai tua nanti. Oh, oh, segalanya untukku sayang.
Kita bisa gak ya kayak gini sampai tua nanti?
Gak bisa, karena bakal lebih dari itu.
Sayangku,
ku berjanji tak akan pernah.
Thank you for still joining us the English program of Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Kali Sosok Prison Surabaya East Java. Every November the 10th, the Indonesian people commemorate Heroes Day. The city of Surabaya is often called the City of Heroes because of the long history of Indonesian heroes in fighting against colonialism in the city. Kali Sosok Prison is an old prison located in the city of Surabaya and has been standing since the early 19th century. It was built during the Dutch colonial government led by Governor General Dundels on September 1, 1808. The name Kali Sosok Prison is taken from the name of the place where it is located, which is in Kali Sosok Village in the north of the city of Surabaya. Kali Sosok Prison, which has been standing since the Dutch colonial era and continued to be used until the Republic era, and the prison has gone through many series of historical events of the nation, especially the Surabaya community in the effort for Indonesian independence. Kali Sosok Prison is also a place of detention for important figures of the Indonesian nation who fought for the country's independence, such as Kiai Haji Mansur, a Muhammadiyah figure who, along with Soekarno, Hatta, and Ki Hajar Dewantoro, were known as Empat Serangkai or the Four Figures of Indonesian Independence. Mas Mansur had to go to Kali Sosok Prison because he actively helped the Surabaya youth movement in resisting the Dutch, and this made the Dutch feel the need to get rid of Mas Mansur by imprisoning him in Kali Sosok Prison, and finally, he died there in 1946. Over time, several parts of Kali Sosok Prison began to show signs of declining. The impact of weather and the age of the building naturally caused damage to the original architecture. The Surabaya city government finally made this building a cultural heritage that aims to maintain historical values and local wisdom. This is important so that later and future generations can appreciate and understand the roots of the nation's history and be inspired by the spirit of struggle that was once embedded in this building. So if you are in the City of Heroes, Surabaya, find time to visit the cultural heritage of Kali Sosok Prison, which is also part of the history of Indonesian independence. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I'll reply to an email from Deva Rajan in India. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency 4755 kHz in Spanish language at 1723 UTC on November 7, 2024, and the SINPO was 444444. Hello, sir. Thank you for your reception report on Spanish broadcasts. In his email, he said while typing this report, the signal has improved to 555. He also asked to send him a QSL card. Hello, sir. Thank you for your reception report, and your email has been forwarded to the Spanish section. Please wait for the reply. Now it's time for me to play you a beautiful song, so happy listening.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. wrong is be strong. When things seems up in the air
and everything is so unfair and you're stumbling for,
just pick yourself up and sing.
Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You just listened to the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany.
Miscellany today is featuring innovation of energy source from waste bacteria by ITS students. The high demand for household electricity requires innovation of renewable energy sources as a substitute for fossil fuels, which are increasingly depleted. Starting from this problem, a team of students from the 10 November Institute of Technology or ITS Surabaya East Java created an environmentally friendly energy source from oil sludge waste bacteria. Head of the ITS Gasolium team, Ramadita Putra Purnomo, explained that oil sludge is one of the waste produced from the processing and storage of crude oil. If this waste is disposed of, special stages are required so that the waste does not pollute the environment. Rama and his team studied oil sludge waste and found the presence of Pseudomonas aeruginosa bacteria as microbial fuel cell or MFC, which has the potential to produce electrical energy from electrons resulting from the decomposition of nutrient glucose by bacteria. To produce electricity, the bacteria need to be mixed with household waste such as vegetables or fruits. The household waste is cut into small pieces and mixed with hydrochloric acid. The goal is to break down the nutrient glucose molecules into smaller pieces. Next, the mixture is put into a 1000 milliliter tube that has been fitted with a multimeter, anode, and cathode. The mixture is arranged to form a 3 layers of parts with a ratio of 1 against 3. From this mixture, a bioelectrochemical system will then occur that converts household waste glucose into electrons. These electrons then produce voltage and electric current. To obtain maximum electrical potential, it takes up to 7 days. In the 7th time span, the electrical energy produced by this bacteria reaches 21 watts or equivalent to the power to light a flashlight. The results of this research have led the team to become the first winner in the 2024 Forum Improvement and Innovation Award event recently. That was Miscellany Today.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Mengugah rasa begitu.
Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song from Ruang Senja. Ruang Senja is a folk pop group from Bandung, West Java, Indonesia, consisting of Eriza Triwiguna and Fajar Taufik Hidayat. Eriza provides vocals and mandolin playing, while Fajar plays guitar with a touch of folk music. In early November 2024, they released a new single entitled Jarak dan Waktu, or Time and Space. The single continues the poetic and multi-interpretative style that characterizes the group. Through the lyrics, Jarak dan Waktu depicts the story of a challenging long-distance relationship. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Jarak dan Waktu by Ruang Senja. Happy listening!
Jauh sudah rasanya tempat terakhir kita saling bertatap mata, saling bertukar kata, rasa masih sama, raga tak bersama. Kita terpisah oleh tidur panjang, jarak dan waktu tak lagi ada, hanya untaian doa yang bisa pertemukan kita di lelap malam.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Di atas meja rindu itu hilang dalam kata-kata. Sebentar lagi kita saling lupa. Kita menjelma pagi dingin yang dipayungi kabut. Tak bisa lagi bercerita apa adanya. Mengapa takut selalu ada tenang di sela-sela gelisah yang menunggu reda. Di dalam kamar rindu itu menguap dalam kebisuan. Sebentar lagi kita semakin lupa. Kita menjelma kebisuan yang tak bisa diungkap. Tak bisa lagi bercerita apa adanya. Mengapa takut pada lara, sementara semua rasa bisa kita cipta. Akan selalu ada tenang di sela-sela gelisah yang menunggu reda.
For listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram at VOI_official. VOI_official. And of course to the email voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.